Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Deeper Truth Radio. It's time to engage the Faith Blaster.
It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. We have heard this before. It is the most important light that shines through the darkness, between an illusion and reality, between science and faith. And it lies between the pits of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. Again, something we have heard before. This is the dimension of where heaven and earth join together. It is an area we call the Faith Blaster.
The Faith Blaster will be presented on Friday nights, but tonight this is the promotion for Deeper Truth's newest evangelistic outreach. Far more important than a locomotive, can jump higher than the highest heavens in a heartbeat, can touch the most hardened heart, the Faith Blaster. And I'm bringing on, I am Donald Hartley, and I'm bringing on John Benko. John the Virginian, how you doing there, John?
Yeah, no pressure there on me. I mean, evangelism that can't be stopped. Wow, that's setting the bar pretty high, Donald. I mean,
oh my goodness. Well, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. And I'm bringing on Terry. Terry from Texas. So, John,
hey,
Terry, I'm going to have to rock and roll, but I tell you, I'm looking forward to checking this out a little bit later here. So, okay. John, you take over the reins here. But the Faith Blaster.
Yeah, so I'm going to get into what the concept of the Faith Blaster is. And basically, it's the concept of what Deeper Truth was intended to be about years ago, 12 years ago, when I formed this apostolate. And then my life shipwrecked after that, and I had to take a long amount of time off. But way back then, the idea behind Deeper Truth was to get past that surface level, going through the motions faith that defines so many of us, and to take it deeper, to step out of the wading pool and to go into the depth of our faith, and to go into the history, and to go into the understanding theology, being able to understand and defend your faith, knowing the history of it, and knowing the lives of the saints, and knowing the miracles, and the typology. It's so rich. We've got Terry on. Terry, the one thing that I found over the years is that the deeper you go, the deeper it is. Every time you go deeper, it just opens up more rabbit holes and more rabbit holes and more rabbit holes and new trails. But I have people come to me all the time, and I'm sure you have the same experience. People come to me all the time and say that they feel like they're stuck, especially people dealing with different various types of addiction. And there are many different, as many different addictions as there are days in the year. Do you have a similar experience with people coming to you asking for advice on how they can get unstuck?
I do. Well, on both extremes, on that side and then also on the other side, because as you were saying, the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. And I've ran into, like, many that said that, you know, I went to Catholic school all my life and this and that, and I know everything there is to know about it, and the Catholic Church ain't true. Well, obviously, you don't really know that much because, you know, but and on the other side, what you were saying, like, you know, people, the devil, I mean, the devil's been doing this, you know, from the beginning of mankind, when he deceived Adam and Eve. He's been deceiving mankind for all of these, you know, many, many, many centuries, and he's gotten really, really good at it. I mean, his intellect is far above ours, and he does it on an individual basis. You know, whatever base weakness we have, he's able to take advantage of it and manipulate us into succumbing to it.
Right. So basically, the concept of the Faith Blaster, that's going to be different. It's going to be different than any of the other shows that we do the other 6 days of the week in two respects. And the first is that everything is going to be pre-recorded because it's going to kind of let us be creative, get those creative juices flowing with, you know, mixing different sounds together and different things together, you know, to create a final product that's entertaining. So that's the first thing. The second thing is it's going to be focused without having a lot, you know, a lot of people calling in and everything like that, and going in all these different directions. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. We're still going to retain that part of Deeper Truth. We're still going to have the live call-in shows and everything. This is going to be one day a week. We're going to do a little something different. And it's going to be focused on ways to get you out of the rut, ways to re-energize your faith, different things that you can try to take your faith to another level. So it's not necessarily going to be going into really deep theology or debating or anything like that, but it's going to be the kind of things that you can, the kind of things that you can concentrate on that will help you get out of that lukewarm aridity type of situation. In the first five episodes, we've decided to tackle the concept of faith. And the way that we're going to tackle the concept of faith is we're going to do one particular show for each of the letters in the word faith. And these are things that I feel like, or that I've learned over the years. These are things that I think can kind of pull you back to your center. And the five things that are going to be focused on that are going to be the, you know, the emphasis of faith is F is going to be focus. A is going to be aim. I is going to be intensity. T is going to be truth. And H is going to be heart. And I really believe that formula is going to really help a lot of these people that have been reaching out to me, that have been reaching out to you. So episode one is going to be about focus. And some of the things that we're going to talk about are the very things that you should focus on to regenerate that faith, to get it moving. Because focus is very, very important. Focus on what you're doing. Focus on who it is that you're talking to when you're praying. And focus on the bigger picture so that all of the smaller things or all of the things that you're going through in life kind of make sense or kind of fall back in perspective. Now, I'm sure you know, as I know, many, many people who are going through terrible trials in their life. I'm not going to be surprised if you tell me, you know, many people that are going through a lot of trials and a lot of suffering. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it is. You know, I do a lot of prison outreach too. And so, you know, and there it's a completely different world, and, you know, there's some common addictions that people fall to while incarcerated also.
Yep. We got another caller. Let me bring the other caller on real quick. Area code 702, you're on Deeper Truth, and we're talking about the new program that we're going to be initiating called the Faith Blaster. And I don't know how much you've listened to, but what are your comments?
Hey, it's Joseph. I'd like that the definition of all those letters. That's that's going to be very impressive. And you know, yeah, I think everybody struggles with all of it, and we need every little bit to get us through. Because, you know, the world's tough, and everybody's struggling in different ways, shape, and form. And you know, my best moments of prayer and study and reading is always in adoration, because I focus that much more on Christ, and he opens everything up for me, and I do so much better than I do anywhere else, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things that the focus episode is going to deal with. It's going to deal with this aspect of one of the reasons why people keep falling into the same pitfalls and keep falling into the same traps. And listen, the beauty of this is that you're going to have people like myself and Terry and Joseph and other people. We're not up on a pillar staring down at you. We're people who've been there. We're people who've been there. We've made the mistakes. We'll make more. Yeah, and so some of the lessons that we've learned, some of the things that we've learned, we want to share with our listeners. And one of the things that you have to focus on is a little saying from St. Augustine. St. Augustine said, without him, I can't, but without me, he won't. And it's this whole idea of synergistic grace. You cannot do it on your own. And it's this whole concept of Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus talks about the house built on sand and the house built on rock. And Terry, you notice what he says in that parable. He says, when the winds came, when the waves came, notice he didn't say if. He doesn't say if. And people need to understand that. That's one of the things that you need to focus on. When you make, I beat myself on this wall. If I beat myself on this wall once, I beat myself on this wall 10,000 times in my life, is that once you make the commitment to Jesus, the tribulation is going to follow, because it's a test. The test is going to follow. So are you preparing yourself for the test? Because the storm is coming. Are you preparing yourself for the storm or not? Are you going out and you buying yourself an umbrella, buying yourself a rain suit, whatever it is that you have to do, putting rain tires on your car? Or are you just acting as if it's going to be sunny and 80 degrees every day? So what are the types of things that we do? Well, Joseph brought one up. Go to adoration. Go to adoration. Go to those extra confessions. Don't wait till you're in the deepest, darkest mortal sin before you go to confession. Go to confession when you're struggling with venial sins. Go to confession to get that extra grace. Go to an extra mass if you can. And by all means, read scripture, read those religious books, and whatever you do, don't put down Our Lady's rosary. You've got to pray that rosary every single day without exception. Terry, is there anything you'd like to add to what I've said?
Adoration, Terry? And the rosary. Yeah, I think you got me muted.
Yeah, I must have accidentally hit the mute button. Go ahead and say it again, because if I did, it was accidental.
I hit the wrong button. I was trying to mute myself, and I hit the hang-up button, so I had to call back in.
I got you.
The same thing you were saying is that, just like there's three pillars, the Holy Scripture, the Magisterium, and Holy Tradition. Also, when you're fighting this spiritual battle, your greatest weapon is going to be confession, adoration, and what was that other one you said? Confession. Oh, and the rosary. That rosary being said every day, that chases the demons away.
St. Louis de Montfort said something very interesting about the rosary. This quote blew me away because this quote is especially for people who are struggling with addictions or habitual sins that they can't seem to break themselves out of. And I know a lot of people that are struggling with that. And don't get discouraged. You can't get discouraged. You just got to get up, go back to confession, keep trying. But one thing that St. Louis de Montfort promised is if you make a determination to persist in the rosary, you will do one of two things. You will either persist in the rosary or you will persist in your sin, but not both. They can't both live together. One will eventually conquer the other one, and you can make up your mind which one's going to win. All you got to do make up your mind which one's going to win is be committed. I'm going to say that rosary every day. Every single day I'm going to say that rosary. If I fall, I'm going to say the rosary. If I don't fall, I'm going to say the rosary. If I feel good, I'm going to say the rosary. If I feel bad, I'm going to say it. If I feel happy, I'm going to say it. If I feel sad, I'm going to say it. Every single day, I'm going to say that rosary. You do that, you will conquer that habitual sin that has been haunting you and tormenting you for so long. We're also, in the first episode, we're going to be playing Jesus' parable of the sower. And Jesus talks about three principal things, three principal types of people where Jesus sows the seed, and three particular instances where the seed doesn't bear fruit. Okay? And the first one is people hear the word, but they don't understand it. Because understanding doesn't come from just reading. It doesn't come from just reading the Bible. It doesn't come from just listening. You have to study. And you have to study under the auspices of the church. Get yourself a catechism. Get yourself a catechism. Learn the catechism. Learn what the early church fathers wrote. Learn what the saints wrote. Don't be afraid to ask knowledgeable Catholics. But the second part of that, the second half of that, and this is just as important, is obedience. If the church teaches it, that settles it. You don't have to understand the Immaculate Conception to believe it. Hopefully you will understand it at some point, but you have to believe it first because the church said that you have to believe it. So that obedience is important. That obedience and that humility is important. The second way that people fall off the path, tribulation. They embrace the word first with joy, but then tribulation and pain and suffering comes into their life and it knocks them off the path. Raise your hand if you have a suffering-free life. Jesus didn't promise us a rose garden. You're going to have suffering. You're going to have tribulation. But this goes back to, are you building your house on that rock or are you building that house on sand? And how do you prepare yourself for that tribulation? By grace. How do you receive grace? Through prayer, through the sacraments. It all comes back full circle. Focus, focus, focus. Prepare for battle because the battle's coming. Do you know, I don't know if you guys like sports or football, championship football or anything like that, but there's an old saying, championships are not won in the fall when you're playing. Championships are won in the spring and the summer when you put in the work to prepare yourselves for the fall. And life and salvation is like that. You don't win the battles as they come. If you wait until the battle comes to prepare for the battle, you're going to lose the battle. Like Terry said earlier, devil's too smart. He's too smart. He's too strong. You try to take him on by yourself, that's a battle that you're going to lose. So how do you ready yourself for the fight, Joseph? Do you ready yourself for the fight by, I imagine you probably, what are some of the daily devotions that you use?
Oh, gosh. I have it all. You know, I have the Word on Fire. I have the Magnificat. There's... You know, I do read the catechism. I go to a Bible study that just came to an end of what we were studying, Hebrews, and I'm trying to get them to study the catechism in the study because there's so much to it. And, you know, I had studied it years ago with a Monsignor running it, and sometimes we would study for 2 hours and only cover a paragraph because it's that deep. And everybody had that many comments and questions, you know. And, you think about the battles that I fight and exist in, 24/7 pain. I'm having a miserable day today, actually. And but here I am, you know, because I needed it. You know, it's like I'm, a little depressed and, and I've said my prayers throughout the day. But it's hard, I'm in, a little extra pain from the surgery I just had and a lot of side effects and it's a mental thing too, the surgery I had. And so I need the help. And if I didn't have what I have behind me already, I would downright fall, you have that, stability from everything you gained in trying to learn the faith. And anyone who thinks you could just go to church and on Sunday and sit there for an hour and a half possibly, and go home and do nothing else, you're not going to make it. You know, there's so much more to it. And the confessional lines, people are afraid of going to confession. You know, I've done it all. I've seen it all. And the priests have seen it all and heard it all. So don't be afraid. It's like taking out the garbage. Do you let your garbage sit in the house for a month, without doing a thing about it? No, you got to take it out. It's going to stink the place up.
It's the same thing about your own body. Are you going to say that, I smell so bad today, I'm not going to take a shower? Take a shower, okay?
Well, same thing. You got to get those sins off your shoulder and off your heart and off your mind, and because they do eat at us, whether it was by mistake or on purpose, whatever it is. Again, the priest have heard it all, so don't be afraid, don't be ashamed, and get that fear and the shame taken away by going to confession.
Terry, one thing that I learned is, I live alone in my life right now. Unfortunately, that's the way things are. And one of the things that I learned is, Joseph talked about depression and things like that. One of the things I learned is sometimes you got to get busy. Even if all you're doing is mowing the lawn or washing the dishes or putting in a load of laundry, sometimes you got to just force yourself to get up, get busy, do something, because an idle mind is the devil's playground. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I do. That's one of my daily devotionals is to always be active in in the ministry of evangelization.
Yeah.
And, you know, I try.
And, you know, what do you think about St. Teresa of Lisieux and her little way? And it was later adapted by Jose Marie Escrivá, and it's really founded as the calling card of Opus Dei. And it's basically that we encounter in our regular daily lives enough things to get us to heaven. We can be sanctified through the things that we encounter in our regular daily lives. If you can do great things, wonderful. But you don't have to. You don't have to go to the missions of Africa and convert 800 people. It's wonderful if you can, but if you're not able to, doesn't mean that you can't be converted and saved. And I think one of the things when we talk about focus, go ahead.
Yeah, so no matter whatever you do in life, like if you're an electrician, right, and if you do that as if you're doing it for God, so you come in to do your job and you got a smile on your face, if someone asks you how you're doing, you say blessed, and if they press a little bit further, you tell them about Jesus, you know. If you're a plumber, whatever it is you do, you know, in your work environment, in your day-to-day grind, you know, to put bread on the table, you also have an opportunity to spread the gospel. You know, I'm a highway inspector, and everybody knows I'm Catholic. And, the job's coming to an end, and so we had a safety meeting. And during the safety meeting, the engineer basically told us, like, look, the job's coming to an end. I'm going to have to start laying people off, so, you know, you might want to start looking for something, you know. And one of the guys, you know, everybody was a little bit depressed, and one of the guys asked the boss, man, is it okay if Terry says a prayer for us? And now I didn't know at the time that my boss was Catholic. I found this out after I said the prayer. But he looked at me and he said, yeah, if you want to, go ahead. And I was able, I mean, we've got Muslims that work here. We got Protestants, Catholics, you know, people that don't believe at all. And I was able to say a prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for all of these souls, you know. And, of course, you know, I was worried for about a week afterwards I was going to get a call from HR. But this, I'm just showing, in every day of our life, man, there's always an opportunity to share the gospel. And that's the commission that Jesus gave to all Christians. Not just the clergy, all Christians.
Right.
Go forth and spread the gospel, you know.
And so the last thing that I wanted to bring up that is going to be a focal point of this first show, this focus show, is the last four things. And the last four things should always be paramount in our life, because when Jesus talked about sowing the seed, the third person that didn't bear fruit was a guy that got sucked away by the cares of the world. Desire for riches and the cares of the world and the enticements of the world. That was that third guy that got taken off the path. And we have to be very, very careful, because those vices, we have something in our church called the seven deadly sins. And those seven deadly sins are all traps. And they're traps to bigger and bigger and bigger sins. And if we're not careful, it will take us off the path and lead us to damnation. So part of that is being content in your station in life. If your Chevy truck is running just fine, okay, you don't need $100,000, you know, Porsche, okay? You don't need $1 million home when a $200,000 home would be just fine. These are just examples. If it's something that's cut down, this money can be something that's used as a tool. It can be something that you can positively affect a lot of lives with. But when money becomes an idol, or when the pursuits of your life, whatever they are, become an idol, and they detract from your faith, then you become that third person, that Jesus talks about when he was sowing the seed. And the way to counter that is to always be mindful of the last four things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And ask yourself these questions. What would happen if I meet Jesus right now? Am I prepared to meet my Maker right now? And if you're in a state of mortal sin right now, you really need to have a serious talk with yourself. Am I prepared to meet my Maker right now? No, I better get to confession. I better get to confession. I don't want to face my Maker with that on my soul. Okay? But it goes deeper and deeper than, am I ready to face my Maker right now? It goes into, what on earth do I want so badly that I'm willing to give up heaven for it? What on earth do I want so badly that I'm willing to suffer an eternity in hell for it? And there shouldn't be anything that qualifies for that list. So whenever one of the things to focus on is the last four things, and to focus on the fact that you are always in the presence of God. One of the easiest ways to resist temptation, one of the most effective ways to resist temptation, is to ask for that grace to always realize that you're always in the presence of God. And if you're able to regain that focus, if you're able through the grace of God, and it takes the grace of God, but if you're able to, through the grace of God, to regain that focus, you're on the right path. Joseph, do you have any comments?
Oh, boy. Yeah. You know, we have to live each day like it's our last day. And that's a hard thing to do, and can be seen as extreme. And no, that doesn't mean sell all your belongings and give everything away and just spend that day on your knees. But at the same time, yeah, possibly spend your day on your knees, praying. But it means just being ready for it. And again, doing everything that takes. You know, if you have the kind of job, company, whatever, that you make that kind of money, there's no reason why you can't have that $1 million house. But, you know, as I call the California syndrome, you know, everybody wants bigger and better. You know, every car, every house, you know, they all want bigger and better. And jewelry, heck, spouses, the money changes people, you know, and we all know that in a negative way quite often. You know, some people do great things with their money, you know, and it's a really personal and funny thing. You know, I've heard it from people in church when we talk about collections and donations, and they're like, well, you can't be given, you know, you've been disabled for 30 years. I'm like, are you serious? You know, I give every single week, you know, no matter what. And you know, that's your, you know, first fruits, you know, and I'm always surviving, you know, and yeah, I'm not thriving quite often, but I'm surviving and I get through it. And, you know, and God gets us through everything. And if we just turn to him and trust in him, you know, we will make it. And yeah, trusting in God all the time isn't very simple either. You know, where we have that human nature of wanting to do things our way. And, I tell people to call me Joseph, and it's a very hard thing. The more you get to know someone, they want to call him Joe. But Joe did things his way, and Joseph attempts to do things God's way. And I fail, you know, but I keep on striving to do that. Hello.
Yeah, we're still here.
Okay. I'm done.
All right. So your comments, Fury?
I think the Catholic Church says it best in the Catechism, and that is, almost everything can be good in moderation. Is somebody working on their truck in the background back there?
No, I have to move my vehicle.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Everything needs to be done in moderation. The only thing that does not need to be done, what you said earlier, the one thing that needs to be done in extreme, with the most intensity that you can muster, and that is serve Jesus Christ. If you can climb up the ladder in whatever your profession is, and you can do it in a holy and just way, by all means, climb up the ladder, you know. But just make sure that you're putting Jesus Christ first above everything else.
Yeah, that was the whole point that I was making. I know some very, very holy people who are well off, who are doing well. But they are using their means to be good stewards and to be good witnesses for Christ. Money is a tool like anything else. Any tool, the value of any tool is measured by how you use it. If you use a hammer to help build houses, well, you're using that tool wisely. If you use a hammer to bash people's skulls in, well, you're not using it so wisely. And money is the same thing. You can use money to improve people's lives. People who have a lot of money have an opportunity to do a lot of good. People who have a lot of money also have the opportunity to do a lot of harm. So it's is Jesus your God or is money your God? That's the question.
The Bible says the love of money is the root, not money. The love of money is the root of all evil, you know?
Yes. You know, I have a, and it's funny to me, I have a couple guys here in Colorado Springs who seek me out on a regular basis to talk about their issues. And for whatever reason, they like talking to me, and I think it's mostly because I'm a straight shooter. And all three of them do very well and want to do better, you know, financially. You know, they have goals. And I'm like, and I tell it to them, you know, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. If you have the right motives and the right reasons and are helping others and the one guy particularly, he wants more employees. I said, how about worrying about feeding your own family? You know, what's the Bible say? You know, what's God say? Ask for your daily bread. You know, not a million in the bank. And he looked at me like I was nuts the first time I said it, but now I've said it to him many times, and he's like, you know, I think you're right. He's starting to get it, but it took him a long time to get it, you know, because he had his own desires, and he's starting to put those aside and look for what's right in God's eyes.
Yep. So I'm really looking forward to this new show, and we're going to be interviewing people like during the week. We're going to be taking things from all kinds of different sources, but the main focus of the program, and like I said, episode one is on focus, but the gist of the program is going to be helping people in practical ways to take their faith to another level. So I'm going to wrap this up, but I'd like to hear your closing remarks. Terry, do you have any advice on something we should cover or direction we should go in this program?
No, I like the five the way you use the faith as an acronym to break down faith. I mean, that's pretty good, and I can't wait. I can't wait for the program.
Yeah. So again, to go over that, we already covered faith is focus is going to be the F, A is going to be AIM, and I'm just going to go briefly through the other four. A is AIM. You know, it drives me crazy when I hear people say, well, I'll be happy just to make it to purgatory. If I can just make it to purgatory, that's all I'm really shooting for. But if you're aiming for purgatory, you're going to wind up in hell. Because the idea of salvation, the idea of salvation is to want to be with God in eternity. It's not just fire insurance. The desire to escape hell certainly is a sensible desire, but it's not enough to get to heaven. To get to heaven, you have to ascribe for holiness. You have to want to be with God. You have to genuinely love God, and that should be your aim. You should never be aiming for – you should never Terry, you're married, okay? If you ever approached your wife with, okay, what is the least that I can do to make you happy today? Because if you did, I imagine your marriage isn't going to last very long.
Well, I'm married to a redhead. That tactic might be painful.
Yeah. So, but you're always thinking, what is the most that I can do for her? That's the way that you're thinking. Well, our relationship with God should be the same way. So that's aim. So we have focus for the F, aim for the I, okay? And I mean, A is for aim, and then I is intensity. Intensity. You should not be a lukewarm Christian. You should be burning inside with your love for the Lord. It should be a fire that lights is lit inside of you, like Joseph. Joseph goes out there. When he's hurting, when he's in pain, when he's got that intensity, he's got that fire, he's got that zeal. And that zeal is what's going to keep that fire going. Okay? T is truth. T is truth. And the truth is in the Catholic faith. And you can't be a cafeteria Catholic. You cannot be. You cannot say, I'm going to accept this, I'm not going to accept that. I accept Vatican I, but I don't accept Vatican II. I agree with the church on this and this and this, but I don't think the church is right on gay marriage, or I disagree with the church on contraception. If you're doing that, then Jesus is not your truth. You're your own truth. And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one gets to heaven, or no one gets to the Father but through me. All right? And then the last is heart, okay? And by heart, I mean grit. I mean perseverance. I mean, you're going to have to be willing to sweat and scratch and claw. You're going to have that heart. You're going to have that never, ever, ever quit attitude. Never say die, never surrender. Joseph, your comments before we wrap it up.
Oh, no, just that, all those are great and so needed. I can't wait to hear what you pull up to share with everybody, because it's going to be some good information.
All right, and Terry?
I concur. Now, when we get into the intensity thing, I'm going to have a lot to say. Because that was one of the things how you got a little fire burning, and then you spray,
yep.
Go ahead and spray some of the fuel on there to get it really going?
Yeah.
During the COVID, everybody was talking about death and dying, and I had that conversation you were talking about, and I asked myself, am I ready? And then I asked myself, how come I don't give Jesus Christ the same level of intensity that I gave the gang when I was in the gang, you know? And, that changed it. I mean, now, I even got fellow brothers and sisters now that tell me that I'm too extreme. But I'm still not extreme enough.
Right. Yeah, what Jesus did for us on that cross was pretty extreme, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm going to use that, too. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, Joseph, would you offer us a prayer in closing, please?
Sure. God, we approach you humbly. Thank you. Thanking you for this wonderful day of life and all the many blessings you give us. Thank you for our efforts here to share your truth with others and to help those who are listening to grow in their faith. We thank you for all the blessings. We ask to give forgiveness of our sins and put you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Father, in the name of the Holy Spirit, God bless you guys. Have a wonderful night, and I'm looking forward to kicking off this new series. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Hey, John, I'm going to give you a call after this.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
All right, bro.
God bless.